There will be no more mourning or death or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. Amen. God's word before us as we continue our Welcome Home message series comes to us from the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the last chapter of that book, chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. In the Pew Bible, this is on page 1253. Revelation chapter 22, beginning with verse 1, another of the visions that Jesus gives the Apostle John for us to appreciate and cherish. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Let's pray. May the words that I speak and the thoughts and meditations that we have be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've had quite a start to winter, haven't we? And it's only mid-November. Already 5 measurable snowfalls. There's still snow on the ground, and I saw snow on parts of the roof this morning. We may have gone back to Central Standard Time, temporarily adjusting things a little bit, but darkness still lasts longer every morning and seems to creep up earlier every afternoon. Winter cometh. Some might be saying, Pastor, winter's already here. And yet, thoughts of winter, for me at least, bring back some pleasant and very heartwarming memories. Growing up in Watertown, Wisconsin, ice skating at Washington Park, all bundled up and bubbling with energy. A soft, warm light coming out of the windows of the big house in which I grew up on Clyman Street, reflecting off the snow. Kids laughing, candles burning, cookies baking. Sort of like a combination Terry Redlin, Norman Rockwell, Thomas Kincaid painting. Sometimes I wonder if these pleasant memories of my childhood is what God has given me to get through another cold, dark winter here in Wisconsin. And yet, so much more importantly, isn't that why God has given us visions or scenes of heaven? Not just to get us through a few months of cold, dark winter here in Wisconsin, but to lead us through the cold, dark winter of this world. Let's cherish the picture, the scene that God gives to us through the Apostle John in our text today. As we celebrate that in Christ we belong to a forever family, may it warm our hearts and cheer our souls as we face the cold darkness of this sinful world. Welcome home to a life that flows from the throne of the Lamb, a life of radiant purity, a life of glorious purpose. In the previous chapter of Revelation, chapter 21, John describes some things that he saw in heaven. He saw the New Jerusalem, pictured as a city, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed to meet her husband. That's in verse 2. He saw the holy city and its main street of pure gold, as clear as crystal, as clear as glass. That's verse 21. He saw a place where there is no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things, the way of sin, is gone. It's a place where God himself has wiped away every tear from our eyes. That's verse 4. Imagine, all of the saints triumphant are already experiencing these things. I'd like to read to you a short paragraph from a book that one of our Wells pastors wrote and was reviewed at our circuit meeting this past Tuesday. And I put the words up on the screen for you to follow along. Heaven. No more crying, no more pain. That means more than physical pain. No more unfinished tasks or missed opportunities. No more painful goodbyes. No more hurt feelings or stepped on toes. No more misunderstandings or wrong signals. Not even the slightest bit of friction in relationships. But heaven isn't just about the absence of all negatives. It's mainly about new things, things we can't even begin to imagine. The excitement of living with millions of angels, the thrill of talking with Abraham, David, Paul, and all of the other believers whose names fill the pages of Scripture. The delight of living with people from every period of history and from every nation. Heaven is going to be an out-of-this-world experience. It's what Jesus sacrificed to give us. It's the ultimate gift from the ultimate humanitarian. Wow. That's a picture of what awaits us in heaven. In our text, Paul looks at this city in heaven, and he sees the river of the water of life as clear as crystal. There's no impurity in this river, no pollution, no dirty muck, no cloudy sediment. Again, growing up in Watertown, I was familiar with the Rock River, and the description of this river is diametrically opposed to what I remember about the Rock River. The water of this river is pure because it's water that's flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb of God. The Lamb that was slain and now rules and reigns forever in heaven. The Lamb without blemish or spot or defect. The Lamb whose blood takes away the sin of the world. Yes, the Lamb. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, slaughtered for us, but now living and ruling for us in heaven. My friends, without the Lamb, there's no river of life. There's no pure water. There is no purity before God. How precious is the Lamb. I urge you to keep this picture in mind. How often don't we, as we slosh our way through the filth of this world, find ourselves growing weary and getting tired? Like pigs. We settle down in the mire and the mud and the muck of sin, and we even begin to enjoy it. We begin to imagine that this is all there is, that this is our home. And then we devote our time and our energy to making the dirt of this world look pretty. Dear Christian, heaven is your home. As all of us will sing before we leave church this morning, I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Why wallow in the mud and the mire and the muck and the filth of sin in this world? But if you're like me, don't you have to admit that the more you do battle with sin, the more you see how filthy you really are? In other words, the more you and I grow in our Christian understanding, the more we see how sinful we are. And it's not just what we do, our actions, our words, our thoughts. It goes down to the very core of our being. The more we try to clean ourselves up on the outside, the more we see how deeply the stain of sin goes on the inside. Listen to God. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How can we ever hope to make our hearts pure before God? Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. The pure water of life that's as clear as crystal flows from the throne of the Lamb. It's He who washes us clean on the outside and on the inside. It's He whose blood has paid for every single sin. It removes even the deepest stain and makes even the foulest clean. That's the promise that He gives us in the water and His word of holy baptism. Believe God's promise. For that water of life that makes you clean of your sin is the water that brings you life. Life that flows from the throne of the Lamb of God. John's vision of heaven continues. He writes, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. More comfort for us in this scene from heaven, that of the tree of life. Why do I say that? Because John says, no longer will there be any curse. You see, this takes us back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, there were two trees that God speaks about, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command and ate of the fruit of that second tree, they brought death into the world. And sad to say, that curse of death has been passed down to every single one of us. God had said, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And God says in Galatians, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Because of the curse of sin, because we all sin, we all die. But on another tree, the tree of the cross, some generations later, the Lamb of God was put to death. This Lamb became God's curse in our place. By His death on the cross, He undid the curse that Adam and Eve had brought into the world, so that God can now say, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. That's why John says in our text, no longer will there be any curse. The blood of the Lamb of God, which stained the wood of the cross of Calvary, removed sin's curse from us. Death is undone. Temporal death for us now is nothing but the doorway into heaven. Life flows from the throne of the Lamb of God. What hope this gives us as we face the cold and dark winter of this life. As we struggle with pain and problems, failure and fiascos, as life itself slowly ebbs out of us and the icy cold grip of death seems to tighten around us, we need this heavenly vision before us. And not just for the day when we lie on our deathbed, but every single day. For this changes the way we live. This vision of heaven gives us a glorious purpose. As John continues to stare, and I believe agape at this heavenly scene, this is what he says. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. That's the glorious purpose that awaits us in heaven. The word here, serve, means to worship and serve God and the Lamb for all eternity. But some of you have to be thinking, Pastor Keel, isn't that our purpose right now? And if you are, then you've hit the proverbial nail right on the head. The Bible says things like, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It is God's desire that as we carry out our roles as husbands and wives, parents and children, pastors and parishioners, as we share God's kindness and mercy with those around us, as we talk about Jesus in our areas of influence, we are carrying out God's glorious purpose of worshiping and serving Him and the Lamb. But don't we often struggle to carry out that purpose? Aren't there times when we choose to lend ear to the devil rather than to God? Aren't there times when we give just a half-hearted effort? Aren't there times when we do something and then we look back and in hindsight we figure out that we could have done it so much better for God? I see it sort of like trying to walk through deep snow. It's really hard work. Trying to find our way in a blinding blizzard, we tend to lose sight of our goal. As noble as our God-given purpose on earth is, our performance is never perfect. It always falls far short of bringing glory to God's name. But take heart. Even though our well-intentioned efforts on this side of heaven will always fall short, because of the Lamb, God in mercy sees what we do in the Lamb's perfection. God delights in whatever we think and say and do when it's out of love and thanks for His mercy and grace in Christ. Someone once said to me that God must have a pretty big refrigerator in heaven. You know what I mean by that? We who are parents receive pictures and drawings from our kids, and where do we put them? On the refrigerator. Are they worthy of putting into a museum of art somewhere? No. In some cases, they're absolutely ugly. But what do? We put them on the refrigerator, don't we? Why? Not because of the beauty of the art, but because of our love for them and their loving actions toward us. Can you imagine how big God's refrigerator is in heaven? And so as you battle with your sinful nature in living a life to God's glory, keep in mind this heavenly light that God is kind of shining out there in the distance. Remember what's in store for you. You will see His face, and His name will be on your forehead. That's got to be a horrifying thought for those who don't belong to God, who don't love Him in Christ. But for us who do, for us who know that we belong to God because of our faith in Christ, what joy it brings us to see the face of Him who gave His Son for our sins. What joy it gives us to be able to look at those wounds in Jesus' hands and His side and His feet and count how He has redeemed us. What joy it gives us who love Jesus and belong to Him to know that His name is on our foreheads. We are His people. We belong to Him. We've been purchased and bought with His blood. And when we finally get to heaven, nothing will stand in our glorious purpose. Nothing will stand in the way of that. For we'll be in the presence of God's own glory. John says, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Can you and I even imagine what that will be like? Sitting with Jesus, ruling and reigning over all things, Jesus who is seated at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. My goodness, all things are under Jesus' feet. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we will sit with him. And we will rule with him over everything forever. Wow. What a glorious purpose. Fellow redeemed, if wintry scenes of laughing children, crackling fires, and mugs of hot chocolate help you make it through the long, cold winter of Wisconsin, then God be praised. But on a much higher level, keep John's vision of heaven before you. Don't just file it away for the day of your death or for some other particularly dark and dreary day. Look at it every single day. See a life that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. What a life that is. A life of radiant purity now and a life of glorious purpose forever. Welcome home to the family of God, a forever family that enjoys life that flows from the throne of the Lamb. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.